Did your favorite NFL team win the Super Bowl? No? Then the NFL Draft is your Super Bowl. I'm Danny Heifetz, and from now until the draft, we are turning our fantasy football show feed into the Ringer NFL Draft Show. Every Tuesday and Thursday, we talk about the top players and most important storylines for the NFL Draft. So join us on the Ringer NFL Draft Show.
This episode is brought to you by Max. The new HBO original limited series, The Sympathizer, is an espionage thriller and cross-culture satire that follows a communist spy during the final days of the Vietnam War and his new life as a refugee in Los Angeles, from executive producers Park Chan-wook and Robert Downey Jr., and based on the Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, The Sympathizer is streaming now exclusively on Max. Tap the banner or visit this episode's page to learn more.
Ooh, hold up. Smell test. Go ahead, sniff those pits. Now, your bits. Feet. Toes, come on. Ugh. Could be fresher, right? It's all good. Old Spice Total Body Deodorant Spray is gentle enough to use all over your body, giving you 24/7 lasting freshness with daily use, from pits to toes and down below. So every smell test gets a... Shop for Old Spice Total Body Deodorant.
Cold open question of the week, Kaz.
Sup, Shoes?
Sami Zayn did not defeat Roman Reigns at the Elimination Chamber. But here's my question for you. Did Sami Zayn come out better off than how he went in?
I will say he did. However, I do have a lot of questions on how they chose to end it, mm-hmm. right? It was definitely a little questionable at the end. I think he made himself look better than he did going in because of the quality of the match and the buildup and him basically carrying this entire pay-per-view on his back. Like, absolutely. Like, now he is a main eventer in my eyes and a lot of other people's eyes. But as far as how they chose to end it, kind of left more questions than answers, I'd say.
I love the match. I love the whole show, but I have to agree with you on that. Let's talk about it. Let's start the show.
Okay.
What's going on, jabronis? It's Pitch Mr. Perfect, Skylar Astin.
Hey, this is Bruce Pritchard.
This is Roast Battle Season 1 champion Mike Lawrence.
Husky Steve Kazee.
This is Trey Kirby.
This is your girl, WWE superstar, the legit boss, Sasha Banks.
Hi, this is Lillian Garcia.
My name's Kevin Owens.
I'm Shinsuke Nakamura.
I'm AJ Styles, the phenomenal one, if you will, and you're listening to them.
And you're listening
you're
to.
You're listening to.
And you are listening to.
And you're listening.
You're listening to.
You are listening to the Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
The Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Masked Man Show.
Welcome to the Masked Man Show with Kaz. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good, Shoes. How about yourself, man?
Good, a little bit under the weather, but it's okay because we're coming off the Elimination Chamber. And we are here to react to that. There's also
I heard your lungs are currently in the Elimination Chamber. All right. Is that what's happening?
Everything inside is there's a lot of elimination, a lot of chambers being eliminated.
Okay. Like what you did there.
We have some other wrestling news to talk about. There's some Kenny Omega stuff and some Jay White stuff and some whatever else. But this is the Elimination Chamber post show, so let's just talk about it. Let's just talk about the main event. So, Sami Zayn goes into this match as one of the all-time over underdogs. The crowd reaction was almost unrivaled in WWE history. I mean, there's, you know, Brett in Canada. I mean, there's a short list of mm-hmm. moments, you know. Sammy's there. I think to answer the question that I asked you, I think just Sammy basking in the adulation of the crowd puts him in a sort of elite status.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It almost didn't matter what happened in the match. The before and after, just the crowd responding to him was, wow. But he lost. Obviously, there's a lot of people out there who are upset that he lost, thought that he deserved the win, or thought that he deserved a better showing. As anyone who's listened to this show and probably any other show and probably paying attention knows, the odds of him winning were pretty slim. And I think that the way that I kind of frame it in my head is this. There's a lot of argument for Sami Zayn being the most over babyface in the company. There's a lot of argument for him being just, you know, an absolutely elite performer who deserves a title match at WrestleMania or whatever else. But like in the, on its own terms, and this is the story they've been telling for a while, but if the story they've been telling was basically an exercise to sell out the Elimination Chamber, you know, to get a crowd that excited, engaged and big and everything else, that was a huge success. The question is whether or not they kind of overplayed their hand and now they're going to have a, you know, some question marks moving forward. But let's talk about what happened. It was a great match back and forth. Sammy was much more kayfabe competitive than I was sort of expecting him to be. Not much more, somewhat more. Got his licks in, really took it to Roman Reigns at times. The emotional interplay in the whole match was, I thought, really, really top notch. And then the important thing happens at the end when Sammy gets the upper hand, a number of referee bumps occur. The Usos appear, well, one at a time. First, Jimmy comes in, super kicks the hell out of Sami Zayn. That does not lead to a win. Then, with the referee bumped, Roman gets a chair, is about to go after Sami Zayn with the chair, and then Jay appears and stands in between, does his little, like, submissive lion face, and is just like, you're going to have to go through me. And they do the whole back and forth here. He tries to get Jay to do the chair himself, to put whatever. It's not going to happen. Yada, yada, yada. Sami Zayn ends up spearing Jay Uso when he's going for Roman Reigns. Roman ends up getting the win. I was a little bit perplexed, as I think you were. Oh, by the way, there was a post-match beatdown and that Kevin Owens came out and made the save. I'm not sure right. Where KO was the rest of the match, although that part I'm not as, that's more of like a kayfabe nitpick that I'm not, that I don't really don't care that much about.
Okay. Because that one's
really, I mean, that, listen.
I could easily explain it, but yeah, he's
not Sami Zayn's backup. He's right. He's the, you know, well, not quite the ghost in the machine, but he's like he's more of like a guardian angel. He's like Crow Sting. He hangs out in the back. And then if like, you know, someone is making a mockery of justice, he appears. And he's, you know, he's obviously there for Sammy, but he's not trying to get Sammy to win. He's just trying to make sure Sammy doesn't die. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but the my big question was the Jey Uso part, because I don't dislike it. I just feel like we're not going to get a Sami Zayn win going in knowing we're not going to get a Sami Zayn victory. I kind of expected more finality or more of an endpoint or at least some things, more evolution in the Jey Uso storyline, because he basically did the same thing he did at the last show. Am I wrong?
Nah, I don't think you're wrong. The ending was a little not confusing, and I think there's a big part of me that feels like I kind of fucked myself into like fantasy booking it so many times that when it didn't come out the way I kind of envisioned it, it made me just think, all right, my timeline might be a little messed up, right? So I'll say this. As far as the match was concerned, and, you know, Sammy having a CM Punk level home field advantage in an arena for the rest of his career, he's cemented himself as like a main event guy. They know from now on, anytime the WWE goes to Montreal, Quebec, Canada, they're going to get a all-time level show. They're going to have to compare this show to everything else going forward. Like we compare CM Punk at Money in the Bank, like we compare any of these extreme home court advantages to a specific wrestler. That being said, I think what made the match so work so well was that it was such a basic match. Like I do not mean basic in the derogatory sense. I mean basic in the sense of, would you just think of like what makes pro wrestling good? What makes pro wrestling good? Right?
Yeah.
There's a good guy, there's a bad guy, there's a reason why they got to fight, there's a big prize on the line, and there's drama, right?
Yeah.
you can very easily say from the intros to the match itself, it started with, wait for it, people who love catch as catch can wrestling, headlocks and turnbuckle punches, right? Like the most old school, like crowd pro wrestling trope from 2023 to like 1905, right? And they're going nuts for it, every single one, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you add into the fact that we haven't really got to see Sami Zayn perform in a big match level type in that probably, what, like 4 years, really? I think the last time was maybe, take your pick, Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens at Battleground, any one of the ladder match with AJ Styles and Jeff Hardy, like maybe those are those matches. But he's never had a big match like this. So we got to see like him go into like vintage NXT Sami Zayn offense for like the first time in years, right? So now you got all that. And we get to the end of the match. And the one thing that has driven home this story and what's made this, you know, this entire Bloodline Sami Zayn saga so incredible has been the storytelling and the drama. And at the end of the day, the story of the Bloodline and Sami Zayn is loyalty. And what does it mean to you? Right? Is loyalty your family? Even if they give you everything and they've put you in position to succeed and they love you, even if it's by like abusive and nefarious terms? Or is it through people who may not know you, that don't share blood with you, but just care about you as a person? And like when everybody sees you as like this fucking, this oaf or whatever, like this guy who's just like who's just somebody's right-hand man, that dude has shown loyalty to you more than the person that's supposedly your blood.
Yeah.
All right. Then you add into the fact Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn and their loyalty to each other, no matter how much, like if you don't think it's so impossible that Jay could turn on Roman or Roman could turn on Jay or any of this stuff could happen or it's possible, just look at the twists and turns Kevin and Sami's relationship has taken over the past, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, that being said, when Jay walks in and does like the freaking little meek lion, like, yo, man, like you don't, you know, I'm here. You got to go through him to go through me type of thing. Him handing him the chair is the test of his loyalty. Mm-hmm. Like, where does your loyalty lie right now?
Mm-hmm.
And before he can make that choice, Sammy's, I guess, I don't know, overexertion causes him to spear Jay. And strike first, right? All in the same token, you're hearing Kevin Owens tell Sami, if I were you, I would let them strike me. I'd strike first. They repeated the line in the whole video package every single time, right? So Sami struck Jay first. Despite everything that's happened between them, this story has been about loyalty. And at the end of the day, Sami struck Jay first. Mm-hmm. And on top of that, Kevin Owens, who could have come out at any time to help Sami or give at least give him a fighting chance to actually win this thing, doesn't come until the thing is truly settled. So the reason why the ending, as great as the atmosphere was, the match was, everything was as fantastic as it was, the ending left more questions than answers, because now there's so many pipelines now. Of course, you can get Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens, Jey Uso, Jimmy Uso for the tag team titles. You can get Sami versus Jey. You can get Sami versus Kevin. You can get a lot of different scenarios now. You could even, there's even still a world where Roman, Sami, and Cody still could possibly end up in the main event of WrestleMania. I think it's still possible. They still haven't completely written out, you know, Sami and Kevin are back together. We're going to be a tag team now. Because the ending was just so peculiar. It left me wondering, like, why did he take so long? Why did Sami strike first, even if it was an accident? Is Jay going to take it the right way? How's Jimmy going to feel about coming out and Jay, you know, protecting Sami over protecting, you know, Jimmy, his brother, even though Sami just, he just, you know, there's so many layers there. So I would say in a vacuum as the main event, it was great. It delivered. It did everything. But I just think the ending just left way more questions than answers. And
yeah, I think that's the question. No pun intended, is that whether or not more was necessary, more finality, more answers were necessary on a night like that.
But here's another thing. I think the lack of finality kind of leaves the door open for this story to continue. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not necessarily sure if I'm not necessarily sure Roman Reigns. I think we've all kind of like written in or like kind of penciled in the fact that Roman's dropping the titles at WrestleMania. I'm not so sure anymore. Like, I am not so sure. Like, there's a strong possibility that the way that ended, it made me think they're going to keep this going. Like, he's probably going to retain at WrestleMania. Like, that level of booing, that level of like visceral hatred for one person.
Mm-hmm.
Why stop that? Why end that in 6 weeks? Like, it doesn't make, it made me really question whether or not the Bloodline story is really coming to an end. Maybe they're really, really just about to get going. So I don't know. Lots more questions than answered after that main event.
I agree. I mean, I think that two things. One, we had all sort of predicted a lot of this. I think we all had a pretty good idea of where it was going to go. And I do think we alluded to this or mentioned this in previous weeks. It does seem like the guiding ethos of this creative unit at WWE is it cool? Does it make sense? And let's go for it. You know, it's sort of like, it is incredibly gratifying for something to make sense and to be cool. This one did feel like it was short, like one surprise. Right. Just like one, there have been so many twists and turns. And in this case, there were questions, but there were not any like real twists and turns. And then you're right, it does leave a lot of questions, but they aren't new questions. Mm-hmm. Like Jay's arc is incredibly nuanced and has been really, the past years, you know, has been incredibly fun to watch. But it does seem like we're just, you know, wrestling in general has a going in circles problem. We complain about it. We talk about it a lot in other situations too, but you never want to feel like you're kind of pulling back the curtain and seeing a decision that's made solely to like get from point A to point B on a certain pace.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like when a tag team's about to break up and then they're like, you know what, let's save that for SummerSlam. And all of a sudden they're friendly again for like 2 months, you know, right, and then it's right. Like, then they go right back into it. You hate that. That just kind of shatters it. That's a little bit what the Jay thing felt like. Like we went through a lot of kind of real nuanced storytelling with him talking to Sammy backstage and coming out for the match after the last pay-per-view, like, you know, joining his brother in the ring. And now what? Like... Mob boss Roman Reigns hasn't figured this shit out over the past month.
right.
I don't know. What was the Heyman thing? Didn't Heyman told to them to stay at home for this show?
Yeah, Heyman told the Usos to stay home because sometimes you see things on TV that you don't see in real life, right?
So that could go in a lot of different directions. But if the implication, I tell you where my mind went immediately. I'm going to be so mad if this happens. Is it going to play out that he's mad at Sami Zayn because he doesn't realize it was an accident? But if he had been home watching it, if he watched the video, he would realize it was an accident?
Maybe.
I mean, I hope I'm not even going to dwell on that because that would just be sad. But I don't know. I thought that it was a really beautiful match. I mean, it is a pretty singular experience to have wrestlers that are at that point, this point in their careers, that popular, getting that kind of reaction, having that much emotional investment And Jesus Christ, I mean, to have a match where everybody's complaint is like, I am too invested in this. Nothing could possibly live up to my emotional investment. I mean, it's so much different than like the complaints that we're sort of used to, especially in WWE.
I'll say this, man. There is a lot that went into everything that had to make this happen, right? Like, with Sammy, with the Usos, with Roman, I mean, now you're going to get the Cody factor in there tonight and see how he all factors into all this, you know what I'm saying? Because thankfully, he hasn't necessarily existed on an island without that. The Heyman thing sort of tied it all together. Mm-hmm. But it would be weird if... it would be weird if, like, the Usos not listening to Heyman led to the Sammy and Jay breakup, where Sammy's like, yo, he told you to stay home and watch it from TV. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And it's not like he was there to help. So, like, they didn't necessarily help him, either one.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know, man. It was, I think, all things considered, I think if you look at it and say and ask, was this a success? Was the Elimination Chamber, was Sammy getting into a made guy, was all that a success? I'd say, yeah. I think they have succeeded in telling the story and establishing not just, you know, Jimmy and Jay as main event guys and Sammy as a main event guy, but it made me really think that this entire storyline just isn't done being told.
This episode is brought to you by eBay Motors. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED highlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Yeah, no.
I think it just makes
I don't
me
think it's ever
like,
going to be done being told. I mean, not never, like, but it does have a little bit of that Dusty Rhodes versus the Four Horsemen vibe where it's right? Like they might not be main eventing the next, you know, whatever.
But
the
next gonna be main like
WrestleMania or the show after that or the show after that. But yeah, they're always going to be linked together. We have the Bloodline minus Sami Zayn, like Roman and his shoot family are necessarily linked together, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
By the way, there's a lot of validation in that being acknowledged on screen.
Yes.
Sami and Kevin always are going to be linked together. Now the thread is tied between the two, you know, those two units. And honestly, that was the most gratifying part about Cody Rhodes inserting himself or, you know, into the promo battles leading up to this. It was not just that it validated Sami Zayn, which was super important, but that it just connected. It inserted this like connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been one of my, I mean, you can go back to shit that I wrote 8 years ago. The most important thing about wrestling and is that, or not the most important thing, but one of the most central things that really makes wrestling feel vibrant is when everything right. matters to everybody else.
Right, right.
People think of the Attitude Era and they think about, you know, violence and crotch chopping and
puppies,
yeah, whatever. Go back and watch those shows, man. What really made those shows electric was like that, like, somebody would be like in the middle of a angle backstage and would just run into somebody else and would like, and it would like two angles would just literally run into each other and they would set up the match for later on or whatever. And it'd be like nothing existed in a vacuum.
Right.
And I think that's really important. You know, I mean, outside of like the kicker, there's nobody on a football team that's like not engaged with the rest of the people on the team, right? or you know, even if you're not playing a team that week, you're talking about the opponents, you're keeping up with them on SportsCenter and Instagram and everything. You know, I mean, it's like the world exists, you know, and it's just sort of, you know, the most central thing about the Attitude Era is that they for a very specific window of time, just, and they'll say it out loud, but it's true, stopped insulting the audience's intelligence. It's really, that was what's most important. And I think that you can disappoint the audience. You can not put Sami Zayn over in Canada. But I don't know. I mean, I think they've just been telling this whole story so well. I think you're right. I don't think it'll ever really be over. And that's really big. Now, Triple H compared Sami Zayn to Mick Foley in the press conference afterwards. I wasn't watching. I think that's a good comparison. I think Sammy's actually got a lot more upside. I mean, I think Sammy can like mutate. Sammy could evolve again into a legit top tier baby face in a way that Foley always kind of had a ceiling. He was always a comedy baby face, but what's really special about Foley is his humanity, right? And the way that we engaged with it. Underdog is a valid term, but it's not that. It's the being able to see yourself in them. And more importantly, being, like I said, being able to see the humanity.
I think every man is more appropriate than underdog. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like underdog implies like, you know, undersized or just doesn't really have a chance. I just think he's just more, he's regular, right? Like, mm-hmm. I think that's what makes Sammy's and the mix of the world. And, you know, on the outside, like, that's what's so special about him. On the outside, there's literally nothing about him that stands out at all. And you get him in a ring and you get him with a microphone and fucking magic happens, right? Like, there's certain people that just have that effect on, you know, captivating an audience. You know what I'm saying? Like, Bryan Danielson. Walk up to him, literally nothing special about him. You get him into a ring with a microphone and people who believe in him, and he turns into something completely different. And Sammy is I think that's the biggest comparison with the whole Mick Foley thing, right? Like, I think it was even pretty, what's the word? It felt pretty purposeful that he grew his hair out and wore the same thing every show, had the hoodie, had the, you know, the pant, you know what I'm saying? Like, what didn't change his fit for at least a year. You know what I'm saying? With him, it's always going to be interesting because we didn't have the benefit of like watching Mick Foley in like an NXT like capacity, right? Yeah. So even though you saw him in ECW and saw him in Cactus Jack and WCW and all these other things, like, you always just kind of heard about it. And as a wrestling fan, like, you just assume, even though WWE doesn't do it as much as they should, but when they do, it's great. You just assume everything is canon, right? Like, you just assume everything from the first day you appear on WWE TV counts, you know? So I think Sammy has the advantage there when it comes to that Mick Foley sort of comparison, because we've seen him win the top prize before as a babyface. We've seen him win a big prize as a mid-carder. We've seen him be a top comedy act. And now we've seen him as a main eventer coming this close to winning. Same thing happened to Kofi. Kofi came this close at Elimination Chamber, right? Before eventually he made his way into the main event. And I think a lot of times you need this moment to prove if you're really that dude. Because it's easy to shoot and just fucking like be the champ and get the hot pop and then, you know, don't really know what you're going to do for the next couple of weeks. It's another thing if you can keep people interested, even if you came that close. You know what I'm saying? Danielson did it. Kofi did it. I think Punk did it a few times. Foley did it a few times. Even Jericho did it a few times. You need that moment of just like people seeing you and picturing it before it actually happens. And I think that's what was the biggest accomplishment.
Yeah, I think that's really true. I mean, I don't know if that was necessary here, but I do. I mean, that is one of my sort of abiding beliefs that, like, having somebody like sort of like having somebody cash in the Money in the Bank, win the title, and then lose it in short order. Well, now they're in your head as someone who is a potential champion. Yeah. And I do think that there's, but you know, there's also the sort of organic ass side of it. And Sammy's got that too. I don't know, man. I think there were a lot of people who were kind of not down on the match, down on the ending, but a little bit just pessimists in general who were like, well, this is the highest point of his career. He's never getting back here.
Mm.
And I don't know if I agree with that.
I don't agree with it at all. I think he's very much going to be looked at as a guy who can carry. He has carried. He's carried this entire year. You know what I mean? Like he was given the ball for most of the year where Roman Reigns was essentially a part-timer. Mm-hmm. And he ran with it for at least the past 7 months. You know what I mean? So
what do you think? Okay, but I don't know what to say about Sammy. Sammy was the one doing
these live events. Sammy was the one doing Raw and SmackDown. Sammy and the Usos were on every single show. They were given the ball, and they showed that they could score with it. Now, obviously, they have a once-in-a-lifetime sort of talent in Roman and Paul Heyman like being like major parts of this, but I think they've shown that they could be that. I don't necessarily think you take a step back after this, you know, like I think you just looked at it as a different light.
Yeah. I agree, man. What do you think about WrestleMania? Do you think that there's any chance that if they go Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn versus the Usos, is there any chance that the shows or, you know, that the main event is going to get hijacked because Sami Zayn's not in it?
No, I think if I'm a betting man, you know, I think the Cody story just adds more layers. And I don't think, you know, I think if their main event got hijacked somehow or is in danger of being hijacked, I think we would have heard it already in the crowds and in the response to Cody Rhodes. But I think this clear path kind of helps Cody, you know, and if the Heyman promos and the Sammy promos were any indication of how fans are going to feel about, you know, Cody versus Roman, then I don't think we're going to have any sort of hijacking. I think it's going to be a very, I think you're going to have a crowd that wants to see Cody end this or see some, just for the sake of history. You know what I mean? Like, I think in the same vein, whereas like, even if people like hate LeBron James, right? I think for the sake of history, for that past, like last like 5 minutes, people wanted to see him break that record. Like everybody was like, like ready to see it happen. Right. Mm-hmm. And I think Cody's going to have like sort of a similar experience. Like this is Roman's third straight WrestleMania as a world champion, off a singular reign. And the numbers, I think he'll be in the thousands by then. I think his reign might be in the thousand days by then. If they get to WrestleMania,
he's 900 now, right? So
he's in 900 plus days.
We're getting there.
So I think for the sake of history, Cody is going to have a lot of support in that match. So I don't think they're going to be like, you know, I don't think it's going to be, we want Sammy chance or, you know, there's going to be any sort of hijacking there, because I think that sort of undersells how good Sammy can be and how good Cody can be into selling their respective matches. And I think they've shown that in the past couple of weeks. So, but man, I'm ready to see Cody. I'm ready to see how Cody and Roman get together when they first start doing these face-offs and really start promoting this big time match. You know, I think we're going to see something that's going to be very interesting that I don't think people are going to be turned off by now. You know, people love to see Cody.
Well, they sure kept Cody out of the picture last night. You know, I mean, there's definitely like, I think that if you put all of these ingredients into a pot and mixed them up, what is the AI that tells that writes shit for everybody
chat,
that people are
chat doing? GPT?
If you put all the chat GPT, if you use chat GPT, put all the information in there, I'd say like there's a 90% chance that Cody makes the save instead of Kevin Owens.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? He's the next baby face up. Let's let him come out and do the thing. They didn't do that, which was smart and which was the right move. And also they just kept him the hell away from that crowd reaction.
Yeah.
The last thing you need is the crowd to get on Cody just for being present, you know, just for being
American, by the way.
Yeah. He's definitely that.
In that crowd, he would have got booed, I think.
Well, let's talk about the rest of the show. Where should we go next? Let's go to the men's elimination chamber. Second favorite match of the night, easily.
Mm-hmm.
What a hell of a match that was, man. I mean, that was. I mean, there's definitely been. Mm-hmm. I've not done my elimination chamber deep dive. That had to be one of my favorites of all time. I can't think of any elimination chamber that I sort of enjoyed that much. And I guess the Rey Mysterio.
I'll say the first one.
Yeah.
Shawn Michaels, Triple H, RVD, those guys.
Oh, yeah.
I'd say the first one was pretty memorable.
Man, this match was top to bottom. Everybody played their part. Everybody looked great. You had me believing.
Come on.
In Montez Ford. I knew
it's
it. I predicted. I mean, I predicted it. I felt that the end was coming shortly before Diggs. I was just like, oh, he's peaking too early. You know, he's getting all of this stuff in. Like, either this match is going another 15 or he's about to get eliminated. But what a great look for him to just be included in that top three. Right?
Yeah. Like, I think that told you everything you needed to know about how WWE feels about Montez Ford going forward. I might have been wrong in my prediction of him actually walking out with the United States Championship, but I think that was as great as everybody was. And Seth, Austin Theory, those guys killed it. Obviously, Damian Priest killed it. That was a Montez Ford showcase. That was, let's shine this guy up really good. Like, this was reminiscent of, like, those breakout performances. Like, do you remember that triple threat match for Brock Lesnar, John Cena, and Seth Rollins at Royal Rumble? Where, like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
Seth Rollins, like, he wasn't champ yet, but everybody was like, yo, this motherfucker. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah. That was Montez Ford at Elimination Chamber, mm-hmm. right? Like, Logan Paul tweeted about him after the match, you know what I'm saying? Called him the real MVP. And he absolutely showed that he's a guy that is going to help carry that company for a long time. You know, like, he did not look like a tag team wrestler in there. He looked like a star. Like, and, you know, being in the ring with Rollins, and even though Austin Theory is younger than him, I think Austin Theory has a ton of big match experience. He probably has more big match experience than Montez Ford at this point. He didn't look lost. He didn't look like somebody who the lights were too bright. Like, he looked like somebody who was, and the best thing about it was, it wasn't just that he looked it, the crowd was into it. I think that Montreal crowd for a while thought, like, yo, like, he was getting pins. I think he had the most eliminations in the Elimination Chamber. I wasn't keeping count, but I'm pretty sure he eliminated two of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And he looked like,
when he got a second elimination, yeah, I did the quick back of the envelope math, and I was like, it's impossible for anyone else to have more eliminations.
Yeah, so I went to my calculator. I was like, he's got the most eliminations. No, I'm just kidding. But no, he looked like an absolute stud, man. And I don't know, man. Like, I don't know. So here's my question. Granted, everybody, great showing. Seth Rollins, the Logan Paul story is going to be really interesting. Can't wait to see how they go with that, because I think that's going to be my already dark horse pick for match of the night at WrestleMania. Not even dark horse pick. I think it's Logan Paul's already shown it's pretty expected he could do this just as good as anybody on the planet.
Yeah.
But I think the next thing is figuring out what we do with Montez Ford now. You know what I mean? Like, I don't think you just, I mean, yeah, you keep the Street Profits together, but you just stick him back in the tag team action after that?
No.
Like, the tag team stories, the tag team titles have a great path.
What I was getting at last week when we were making our predictions, because it seemed like you can do Logan Paul, Seth, without the title. You can feasibly do Theory, Cena, if that's what way it goes, without the title. But then there's all these other dudes who they just, like, they made four stars in that right. Elimination Chamber. What are you going to do with them? So I kind of thought they'd do some sort of ladder match, or, you know, which whatever, just to, like, and maybe put the belt, make the belt part of that. It is a good question. What do you do with Montez is the top question, but also what do you do with, you know, all the other dudes?
Yeah, well,
you know, what do you do with Johnny Gargano now? you know?
Can we talk about Johnny Gargano?
Yeah.
Something's not hitting. Something's not hitting, right? Like, this was a match that I thought was, like, perfectly set up for the world to, like, I know he had a little time off and, you know, was kind of in and out of the certain scene or whatever, but, like, I kind of thought this was the match that people were going to, it was a Johnny Gargano special. You're going to get all his cool offense. He's the smallest guy in the match.
Yeah.
And he's going to be able to look like a bleeding heart, white meat baby face and look valiant in defeat, mm-hmm. right? And I don't know if he did that. Like, I don't know if it's the music change. I don't know what it was, but like, I still think there still needs to be some seasoning for Johnny Gargano. I remember last year, I said, you know, he's going to be the next top baby face of Raw. You know what I mean? I still believe that, but it hasn't clicked with the fans as quickly as I thought it was going to on the main roster, right? Like, Damian Priest, Judgment Day, I'm pretty sure he'll have his dance card punched. They got Bad Bunny in the WWE 2K video game. They got the Rey Mysterios of the world, all that type of stuff. If I was a betting man, I think Priest, Bunny, something is going to have something to do with what goes on for him. Bronson Reed's still pretty new. You know what I mean? I think he's going to get a nice little monster run. He looked fantastic. Can't get enough of big, huge, hulking dudes that can move like that. Like, yeah. That is my shit when it comes to professional wrestling. Like, you know, I'm a big, meaty man bumping meat. That's my shit, right? Mm-hmm. But what you do with Montez Ford is very critical because the tag team titles seem like they're already occupied. With mm-hmm. Sammy, Kevin, everything. Judgment Day, you know, even if she's not involved in what Beth is doing, the Dom and Rey Mysterio seems like it's about to culminate in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure Edge and Finn Balor are going to do something as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you do with Montez Ford after this is going to be very important. Do you just throw him back to a tag team and have to do tag team matches? Do you have him, you know, do something with Angelo Dawkins? Like, is he still going to head back right after Austin Theory and, mm-hmm. and try and head for that U.S. title and have a moment? Is there going to be some sort of ladder match at WrestleMania? I don't know. But I feel like how you handle him these next 6 weeks heading into WrestleMania is extremely important because he's shown, and with the investment you didn't just make in him, but, you know, Hulu is making him, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's going to be a lot of faces. A lot of screens that are going to have Montez Ford's face on it for the next several months. So you, especially with Bianca Belair. So you got to make sure you hit that out the park. I think that's the most important question coming out of that match.
I agree. Well, the other, you know, also is Montez healthy? If we want to ask the kayfabe question, is Montez...
Oh, I thought he was selling. Okay. Oh, he's healthy. Oh, okay.
He's definitely selling.
I like where you're going there. My fault. Go ahead.
But talking about big moments, I mean, Sami Zayn is the one we're going to remember. But I thought, given that he didn't win, there was something really significant about that injury spot at the end and him having to be helped out of the ring. That's sort of like a gave it absolutely everything I could moment. Mm-hmm. The crowd got to applaud him as he was going out. I thought that was a really huge moment. It was also a kind of a weird, unnecessary contrivance to get the cage opened up for Logan Paul to get in. But it was important. I understand they have to open the door to let people out every time they lose. But this was a way of making that super clear, projecting that to the audience. So here's an opportunity. Here comes the dude. And it was cool to see Logan Paul there. WrestleMania cards kind of all coming into focus. I mean, I'm glad that there's still questions at the top, though, right? We don't know. Cena, by the way, has been announced for a March 6th Raw in Boston. He's been announced that he'll be present. I guess he might not be on TV, although that would be pretty amazing if he weren't. Edge and Beth Phoenix over Finn and Rhea Ripley. I really called this one wrong.
Me too.
It was a good match. It was a fun match. I really enjoyed basically everything they put together. Edge is apparently answering Austin Theory's open call on Raw tonight. So I'm not sure if he's going to be our next U.S. champion or if he's just going to get attacked by the Judgment Day again. I mean, it does feel like this does set up what we were sort of speculating before. Edge gets the win. What is Finn going to do now? He's going to go insane, maybe turn into some demon and get him in a cage for WrestleMania or something. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, we've been seeing the storyline for a while, but it does feel like there's one more chapter. You know, there's one more story to tell. So it'll be interesting to see how they get there. Do you have any thoughts about that match?
I'm sorry. I just had to answer. That was an important mess. I'm sorry. Can you repeat that?
Do you have any thought? Do you have any thoughts on the Grit Couple versus Judgment Day?
Sorry. Match? Yes, golly. I forgot to factor in the Canada bonus points, right? When we were doing our predictions for that match. It was a fun match. I was kind of expecting, I mean, Rhea Ripley did still look badass, in defeat. But I was definitely expecting a Judgment Day win there, but how did I forget? You know, wrestlers' SP points shoot up like plus 1,000 when they're Canadian and they wrestle in Canada. Yeah. You know, it's probably one of the last times Edge is going to wrestle in Montreal, and I could understand why they went that route. Not so much though, man. Like, you know, I would expect it. You know, it kind of felt like it made more sense in hindsight because they kept replaying like, okay, yeah, like Beth hasn't really touched Rhea since like she crushed her skull. I would assume that she would get some sort of revenge or get some get back on that, which she did for the most part. I thought it was a fun match, man. I think it definitely sets up. I'd love to see where Edge and Finn go after this as well. Obviously, I'm sure Edge is going to be involved in WrestleMania in some capacity.
I think they're in the cage. I think they run it back. I think, yeah. Like I said, I think we do it all over again.
Yeah, yeah. Cage them up. Do it. Give me a nice fun stipulation, and then let's see where we go with it. Really excited to see it, though. Really excited to see it. It was a good match. It was a good match. It was nothing for me to. I guess because I was wrong.
I like the Bull Nakano face paint on Beth. Yeah. I mean, I like that. I feel like they
Sam
get
Sam Roberts' favorite.
Yeah, I think they get Edge and Beth get all the little things right always. But yeah, I mean, it's. I thought it was a good match. I wasn't really so confident that it was going to be a Judgment Day win. I was confident that it was going to be a Rhea Ripley win. Mm-hmm. I thought that she was the one person they had to make look invincible, and they didn't. You know, they went the other way. I will say, man, her interplay with Dom is just incredible. I mean, it just never. Every time he gets on the apron, they talk to each other. I mean, it's so good. Yeah. I don't even know what else to say. It's just like it. And makes the match.
Becoming a great chicken shit heel, Dom Mysterio
so
is.
Good.
Who'd have thunk it?
I don't know, man. It's crazy.
It? He's more like Eddie than we all thought.
Lashley beat Brock Lesnar by DQ.
Mm.
Somebody pointed out that match was shorter, both in the 4-minute range, but that match was shorter than the amount of time it took Roman and Sammy to touch each other after the bell rang. That's how they're milking the crowd so much in that one.
Yeah, yeah.
I am so confused about Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar. And what makes it even more confusing, confounding even, is that not the bizarro Bray Wyatt call out before the pay-per-view. So Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy come to the ring and they're and beat up Hit Row, and they're just like, whoever wins Brock versus Lashley, we got next. Now, it just seemed like a really weird and out of character thing for him to do. I mean, I just don't even know. I don't know where to even say about it. But now that match ends and you don't even know who necessarily he's got. Right.
Right.
Like Lashley wins, so I assume we're gonna see Bray Wyatt versus Bobby Lashley, but Brock didn't like Brock. I don't know. Brock looked like the better man, kind of going storming out of the ring.
It was so weird.
And what is Bray Wyatt? Why does Bray Wyatt give a shit about Bobby Lashley?
I don't know.
Why does Bray Wyatt care about who wins a match? Right? If he cares about Bobby Lashley, let him care about Bobby Lashley because of something. But don't... Why is he just like, now here's a match that I'm really interested in, and I'll fight the winner. Like, it doesn't make any sense. I don't know. So, do you think that we're going to get Bray Bobby now?
I don't know. But can I tell you what I wish would happen?
Please.
What I wish would happen is if Bray's random call out just confuses everybody, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, right when Brock and Bobby are about to, like, touch again after, like, what happened, Bray comes out and destroys them both, right? Mm-hmm. Bray and Uncle Howdy comes out and destroys them both. And then, you know, Brock and Bobby still confused. Like, I still hate you. No, I still hate you. They're about to go attack each other again. Bray and Mr. Howdy, Dr. Howdy, Uncle Howdy. I said mad surnames just now. Bray and Uncle Howdy come out, beat up Brock and Bobby again. Next week happens. Brock and Bobby see each other in the hallway. And he's like, I hate you. I was like, I still hate you too. And then right when they're about to attack each other, they're like, wait a minute. Fuck this guy. And then Brock and Bobby team up, being two complete ass-kicking meatheads.
So Brock and Bobby versus Bray and Uncle Howdy.
Bray and Uncle Howdy. Bray and Uncle Howdy do all of the supernatural, we're going to fuck with you mentally, Brock. We're going to fuck with you, Bobby, mentally for the next 6 weeks. Just all spooky shit. And then Brock and Bobby just try and do just cartoonishly muscly shit to overcome spookiness, right? Like the fucking... The puppets come out of the crowd. Bobby just fucking takes the head off and like throws him into the crowd. Like
Superman busting through like magical chains or yes. something. Yeah. All right. Yeah,
I wish it would happen. I know it's probably not going to happen, but like a Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley tag team.
That'd be the best.
It would be so fucking fun, wouldn't it? Like if they were just like, you know what?
And I like seeing Bray and Uncle Howdy in the ring together. Was that Monday or Friday? Monday,
Friday.
Like as like Friday, as like a unit, you know, and just sort of like real corporeal, like we are human beings standing together, sort of thing. That was kind of cool. I do feel like Uncle Howdy should be fat.
Uncle Howdy does not sound like a fit person's name. You are right. Like it does sound like someone who should be who definitely orders chicken and waffles twice a day, like two orders.
Yeah, I just feel like Uncle Howdy should have some more physical presence. Because as it is now with that mask on, he just sort of looks like a bobblehead. But
like he looks like Abraham Lincoln. But
this is like when remember the Dungeon of Doom? Who was the big fat guy? It was Loch Ness. Like you know, like they would just get like the fat and giant wrestlers throughout history.
Just name them after sea creatures and mm-hmm. things. Typhoon.
Yeah. But anyway. But I do like. Maybe that's what they're gonna do. I guess it would make sense if it's Lashley, because Lashley can recruit the Hurt Business, and the Hurt Business can team up against Bray Wyatt and Uncle Howdy.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I could see.
But if we're talking about WrestleMania here. I mean, you can run down the prospective WrestleMania card. We've just about got enough for two nights. We don't need that much more.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, so why not put all those dudes in one match and make it seem like enormous?
Just make it a great story. I think I don't know. Maybe I'm just spitballing here. But one of the things that we haven't seen with Brock is like him in a real like supernatural storyline, right? And Brock being so much more affable now, got a cowboy hat, you know what I'm saying? He's a lot more funnier than people give him credit for. Mm-hmm. Like, the Brock Lesnar, Bobby Lashley, buddy cop, let's solve this spooky mystery story is right in front of you. And that it would be so entertaining. It would be so entertaining.
I mean, it is sort of contrary to everything about Brock, and yet Brock can sort of defy our expectations.
Well, it'll take a couple of weeks. Like they'd have to get their ass kicked together a few times for them to be like, you know what? It's either us or these motherfuckers. And then they just fucking have at it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
You give it a couple of weeks. You got 6 weeks to get there. But I don't know. Like, I just think Brock and Bobby are just so much more alike than they are different. Like, why wouldn't they just say, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck these guys. We could just tear everybody else up.
Yeah, and then why are they so invested in their rivalry? Because they feel that it's like looking in a mirror, you know?
Yeah. Like maybe Bray Wyatt looks at Brock and Bobby and they're just like, they just expose them for all their mental, what's the word? All of their insecurities or whatever.
Yeah.
And then they realize, and then Brock and Bobby are just sitting on a couch one day together. And it's like, you know what? I started wrestling because I was picked on as a child. And Bobby's like, I was picked on as a child. And he's like, and then, you know, I went to the wrestle and then I left for a little bit and I wanted to know what else was out there. And Bobby's like, I wanted to know what else was out there. And then they just figure out. And it's like, you know, then I want to go do UFC and do some mixed martial arts. And it's like, and then I want to go do mixed martial arts. And then as they're talking, they just look at each other and they just go, did we just become best friends?
Mm-hmm.
And then they hug each other. And Brock's like, I'm sorry for kicking you in the balls, man. And Bobby's like, you know what? It's okay. He's like, you know, you were just trying to win. And then they just mosey on off and they become like fucking just this killer tag team of big beefy guys with feelings.
Yeah.
Like they just, and then every week because of Bray Wyatt, they've exposed just how sensitive and like, you know, really into their feelings they are. Like they read poetry together and shit. Like they, you know, it's like, oh, I just brought you this latte. But, oh, thanks, bro. Appreciate it. Like they just become like really thoughtful, kind people. But like once the bell rings, they just fucking just massacre people afterwards. I want to see it. I'm talking myself into it. Let's make it
now
happen.
Now you got to throw
guys.
Shelton Benjamin in there to get jealous.
That Shelton
never
gets
got a
little jealous.
See with Brock.
He's like, you doing this again? He's like, you were my college teammate. You was my hurt business homie. Like, what is going on here? And then Bobby's like, you know, he pulls him off to the side. It's like, Shelton, listen, bro. It's not me. It's not you. It's me. Just very kind. He's like, I don't want to hurt people anymore. I've hurt enough. Okay. I've hurt enough people. I don't want to be in the business of hurts, Shelton. Okay. I've learned things about myself on a spiritual journey.
Oh my God. I love it.
Oh, this is
Let's
good.
Make it happen, guys. Sensitive Brock and Bobby.
I think this is, one of your all time great ideas.
Stab it.
It does make sense though, because they like the whole, like you have that finish in a match like that to prolong a feud.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
But you've already given us the out for the feud. And the out didn't make any sense already. It makes more sense if you're like, well, maybe he's going to interject himself into that storyline. But then you see him and Uncle Howdy hanging out together, coming in the ring as a duo, like the Fantastics down in Memphis. And yeah, it's like maybe there is a tag match to be had. I'm not mad at that at all.
The Brock and Bobby buddy cop movie, man. We could do it. We could pitch it. Dang. You'd watch it.
I would watch it. What else do we got? Oh, the Women's Elimination Chamber match.
Great match. Shout out Carmella, right? Like, I think Carmella kind of like stole the show. You know what I'm saying? I've become a very big fan of her super kicks. Like she throws like a very underratedly good super kick, right? And you know, I love that she uses it as a finish. And it's simple as fuck, but it's just like, wow, it's good. It's good to pin people off of this shit, right? I think we nailed it with Asuka. Kind of makes the most sense in the world. For the next step in like Bianca Belair's evolution, like every WrestleMania match, she has had to go up against like a living legend, right?
Yeah.
And when you look at like the current roster that doesn't have a dance partner right now, you know what I'm saying? Like she dealt with Bayley this entire year. Ronda Rousey looks like she's going after the tag team titles with Shayna. Charlotte's busy. Mm-hmm. I think the most accomplished wrestler after all of those people is Asuka.
Well, and she's at an all-time high right now.
She got the Asuka reboot came out, you know what I mean? Version 2.0. A little bit of Kana, a little bit of Asuka, and, you know, mix it in a bottle. And now she feels fresh and feels new and feels dangerous again. It feels like the person
she
that
feels
was
dangerous.
Awesome.
She looks dangerous. Yeah. It'll be a good match for Bianca Belair.
For sure.
You know what they should do? They should do the gimmick that they do sometimes where like, Like if Asuka keeps getting beat up backstage and people blame Bianca Belair and she's like, I swear I'm not like I'm a straight up competitor. I would never do anything like that. You know, like they're supposed to have a face off. Cameras go backstage. Asuka's like holding her knee and screaming or whatever. And then it comes out that like Montez has just been assaulting Asuka backstage for his wife.
Nancy Kerrigan type shit.
Yeah. Do you?
There's so many things wrong with that.
I know. That's like the third rail. I finally found it. And pro wrestling, you cannot have a husband beat up a woman for his wife.
That's definitely not. Yeah, we can't touch that. That'll definitely shock you.
Yeah, we're just trying to pushing buttons out here. Listen, we're not, man, there's no moral. We're not setting any moral standard.
This road to WrestleMania comes with lots of peaks and valleys, man. We just spitballing here. Give me some good shit.
When we get together on Thursday, let's try to outline the whole WrestleMania card. We'll know a little bit more after Raw tonight.
Yes.
Not much has been announced. Like I said, there's the Edge theory thing, and apparently Ziggler and Mustafa Ali are having their match. So that's big. I'm sure they'll find some other things to do.
Why'd you say it like that? Like they're
they've been like leading up to this for a while, right? This is big. It's for bragging rights or what's it for? Hold on.
I mean, it looks like it's going to be a good match.
In the name of respect. No, those two are going to be great together.
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be a great match.
Let's talk a little bit about free agency.
Ooh. It's my favorite. It's my favorite topic.
So Jay White, this has been really weird. Jay White has been on his way out of New Japan for a minute. He lost Loser Leaves New Japan match to Hikuleo in Japan a while back. And just, I think, probably just to sell tickets, wrestled in the California show against Eddie Kingston. So he's also has to leave the New Japan in America town. It's felt to me like he's a WWE, that he's going to WWE for a while. And that's not from inside information. I think it's that it just feels like a match. I think that the Vince's return, I'm sure, put a kink in a lot of their free agent, you know, planning and stuff like that. But he just feels like the most Triple H guy out there. And I just think it's this is not to dog AEW. I just think it's a much more interesting fit for him. You know, I just think that I think he'd go to AEW and I think he'd be one of the many top guys who just sort of, you know, I think it'd be harder for him to stand out there weirdly. And then he'd do better in WWE. Also, there's a sort of logistical stuff. Like, why are you doing Loser Leaves Town matches to go to a company that we have a working relationship with? Because presumably you could come back, meaning New Japan, AEW. Who knows? Who knows? But it does seem like for him to have taken this long to really make a big move like this. I mean, AEW was always just sitting there. He could have been doing more stuff with them, you know?
And he's done AEW. Yeah. he's appeared on the show a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It definitely feels like he's WWE bound.
But who knows with that one? But the reason why that's interesting is that there's Kota Ibushi stuff came up. Or no. Kota Ibushi is also a free agent. But is apparently, I saw some one weird article about how he wanted to run the performance center or something. He's very into teaching.
Work?
Yeah, I don't know
that
if that was real.
Fire.
But anyway, there was some news story about Jay White, and the response was from inside WWE was like, they're not sure if they're the source wasn't sure if they're going to sign him. They're much more preoccupied with a different free agent. And then it's
not
slowly,
like they can be preoccupied with two free agents at once. No, that's
yes, that's but too- that's but the name that keeps getting mentioned is not his. It didn't say who it was, but apparently that name is Kenny Omega. Apparently there are people inside WWE who think they have a shot at Kenny Omega as his contract is now up. There's been a lot of reporting around this, rumors around this. There's a lot of, I mean, There've been reports about how he could have time added onto his contract because he's been injured. I mean, crazy stuff. I think there's another year option on his deal, but as one of the reports rightly said, the more powerful your representation, the less that stuff is, you know, matters.
Right.
It's really interesting. Obviously we don't know what's going on backstage, although there've been, you know, rumors, insinuations, since Cody came over that he wasn't the only one there's still more Cody Rhodes situations in AEW. And like I said last time, it is kind of conspicuous that the Elite is just like hanging out in the trios division while Kenny Omega can work like 5-star matches in Japan. I mean, it's just sort of weird. But anyway.
I mean, there's also that FTR photo that...
What? Oh, the thing Dax posted the picture of him with a little, with like a staring WWE contract down in the bottom corner or something. I mean, who knows with that.
What looked like the bottom third of a WWE logo on a piece of paper while a bottle of tequila was conveniently covering the WWE Raw and SmackDown titles. Can I be honest? This is my favorite part of doing this show.
Oh,
like,
really?
Like being, oh yeah, like all the fantasy booking, like the shows, all the, like this stuff is what makes wrestling feel like much, so much more like a sport. Like just being able to talk these impending free agencies and who moves where and who fits where. The Kenny Omega story is so interesting to me because there's a part of me that feels that was kind of always on the table once Cody came. Right? Like once Cody came and not only became immediately a massive success, he immediately started calling himself the best wrestler in the world. And I can't do that until I get that title. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Whatever you paid for Cody Rhodes, you knew going into there, whatever you're going to pay that person, the next time you want to make an impact like that, you're going to have to pay something similar or more. So for people to think that is totally impossible for a guy like Kenny Omega to be in the WWE sooner rather than later, I got news for you. If I was a businessman, as much as I love Cody and as much as I love all of the possibilities that he can have with all of these new players, you better have had some money signed, stashed away for some guys that can help continue tell that story. Guys like Kenny Omega, guys like Switchblade Jay White, guys like Kota Ibushi, guys that really are, you know what I mean, wrestling, like professional wrestling stars. You know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like the last time you could only, I could really only compare it, Cody's introduction to WWE to like AJ Styles, you know what I mean? Where it's like, for a while, people always had this thing about AJ Styles was the man in the indies, but if he ever came to WWE, he'd, you know, be a good hand, but they would never really make him world champion, would they? They did plenty of times, right? And if you mean to tell me that doesn't entice a guy like Kenny Omega, that doesn't entice a guy like Kota Ibushi, that doesn't entice a guy like Switchblade Jay White, is really interesting. There's a, right now is a time where WWE isn't a hard sell for a lot of people who have done everything that there is to do around the world of professional wrestling, right? Like for the guys that have been world traveled, that have had IWGP, AEW, TNAs, like you've literally done everything. You only got so many miles in your body and you have one opportunity. You're probably not going to get another opportunity. Whatever contract you sign after this, the possibility of getting another opportunity in this in the next 3 or 4 years when your body has 3 or 4 more years of bumps on you to really cash out and be a megastar is very small. So it wouldn't shock me to see Kenny Omega in WWE or any of the aforementioned, the Kota Ibushi, the Jay Whites. And it wouldn't shock me if we see Jay White the night after WrestleMania, if he pops up.
Yeah, that would be a good time for him.
In Crypto.com arena. But, you know, you got to, it is, the night after WrestleMania is officially a branded thing. So, you know, you got to have some That'd big bucks huge. And some people to bring out for that. So, yeah.
Mercedes Moné won the IWGP Women's Championship. Seems like a big deal.
She trended all night long. You know what I mean? Like, the name still is going to take some getting used to.
True.
But the match itself was Sasha Banks, Mercedes Moné at her best. She's one of the greatest wrestlers that ever lived, in my opinion, right? Like, she's one of the people who, like, there's a handful of folks who, like, got me to fall back in love with pro wrestling, and she's on the short list of one of them, right? Like, I always hold the Sasha Bailey NXT TakeOver Brooklyn match really close to my heart, because that was like the first time in a long time, like as an adult, that I really felt like, oh my God, like this is, you know what I mean? Like really fucking hits you somewhere. I think the beauty of what Mercedes Moné is doing right now is really proving her worth as a main event, not even main event, like her star power, her star wattage is just as strong. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? To help really put it in perspective, she's really being tasked to do something no woman has really ever been tasked to do before, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're basically you're leaving America after being the top, at the very least, the top three or four most important women's wrestler ever in the company. And now you're going to be asked to go to a company that is steeped in wrestling tradition across the globe and carry their version of women's wrestling there. Mm-hmm. And if you've kind of like watched her story or read her, you know, listen to her on podcasts or just talk about anything in sort of interviews and like her love affair for Pro, go watch the Broken Skull sessions with Stone Cold Steve Austin. Like this all kind of fits like what her vision for pro wrestling has always been. Right. And I think once you've, in the same vein, whereas like I was talking about, once you've done everything, like your Kenny Omega, Kota Ibushi, Jay White, once you've done everything around the world, WWE is the only place to go. Sasha Banks is doing the opposite of that as a woman, which nobody's really done yet. She's done everything there was to do in WWE. Now she wants to go and make women's wrestling truly fucking global.
Yeah.
And I hope, for my sake, I hope she just puts New Japan Pro Wrestling on her back as its biggest star, as its most recognizable face, and just becomes like the face of that entire company. You know what I'm saying? And I don't even remember who Okada wrestled, but I know for the past like 2 months, Kairi and Mercedes Moné were in that match. That's a good thing. Not a whole lot of women's main events that are really moving the needle like on the same level as men in Japan. So in that sake, I think it's already been a success. I see people talking a little crazy online just about like, you know, people saying it's a step back or downgrade it like that. And like, I don't think that's fair to say that about somebody whose dream always was to wrestle in Japan.
Yeah.
And do shit that no woman has ever done before, you know? It's weird to me. But I think it was a great match. I think her purpose is much more than titles and being a star or whatever. Like, at the end of the day, like, Star Wars and all like the outside of the ring stuff, like, anybody who's ever had a conversation with Mercedes knows that she just fucking loves to wrestle. Like, at the end of the day, like, the biggest thing of her, all of her gripes in WWE and, you know, people saying, like, shit that she didn't, you know, feel comfortable with, or like why she would walk out and all that stuff. At the end of the day, it was all about like her love of professional wrestling. You know what I'm saying? So I think it was really cool to see her go out there and do that and stand next to Okada and that be the lasting image of that event, and seeing like, okay, like now I'm going to use everything that I've built for the past several years and take women's wrestling even further around the globe. And who's to say? You know it's not going to last forever. You know one day she's probably going to come back. And just like Cody, when he came back, treated like a bigger star than even before. So I think she's doing exactly the right thing right now. And I thought it was a great match. And I just love to watch her wrestle, man. She's a fucking beast.
Yeah. It's really fun. It's really cool that she's doing it. What a big weekend of pro wrestling. We're going to be back on Thursday with our regular Thursday show. Try to figure out what's going on in the rest of the wrestling world. We'll talk about Dynamite. We'll talk about WrestleMania. We're officially one. There's no pay-per-views between here and there. So we'll have a lot to talk about. You want to get your plugs in on the way out?
Yes, sir. Wale Mania tickets are on sale now. Get them while they're hot. We are damn near almost sold out, but please get them really quickly. We still haven't even announced special guests. We still haven't even announced special performers. That's how much Wale Mania is a hot ticket this year in Los Angeles. Get those tickets now. We're going to have a live Masked Man podcast to kick off the show, likely, hopefully, with a special guest. But all those announcements will be coming very soon. But get your tickets now. Check out Say Less with Kazlo, King and Rosie every Monday on my YouTube page, youtube.com/Kazim. And check me out on Count It on PointsBet USA every Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Friday for all your basketball needs.
You can find me here. You can find me on the Press Box. You can find me on the Book of Wrestling. Make sure you listen to all of the great shows on the Ringer Wrestling Show feed. This one, GP, Wednesday Worldwide. It's a really good lineup. Thank you guys all for listening, as always. Apologies, as always, to Johnny Moxley. We'll see you back here on Thursday, Humanoids.